Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 247, coming at you on a Thursday evening, which means it's another Fab preview coming your way. Week 11, Fab coming up for you. We'll do the usual schedules, players to add, players that have been added, two steps, and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
Doing okay. Don't have too much, you know, life updates to share with you since our last Tuesday show. Pretty slow day in baseball today. Only like, what, 5-6 games? One was a doubleheader, so no real news, but we'll get you through all 30 teams as we always do Thursday nights. Week 11 already, man. Week 11 already.
Yeah, we're getting close. We're almost closer to the halfway part than we're past the third of the season right about now. It's crazy that we're moving right along on this way. And last week was a slow week in Fab. We'll see what this week has to offer along the lines. We have a lot of closing situations to discuss. A lot of players rehabbing and coming back this week and early next week to talk about. So a ton to come up with on tonight's show. Andy Splinter's in the chat here. What's up, boys? Andy? Glad to join you on this nearly baseballless Thursday night. Welcome, Andy. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Congrats on the new little girl.
Yes, the new arrival. Yes. Let's see if you make it through the whole show with baby sleeping or not.
Yes, yes. Get a bottle warmed up and ready. You can watch the tail end of the show and watch me fumble on my words as I usually do by the end. So you got that one going for you on this show. But just one piece of news and notes. Again, we'll cover most of the news and notes throughout the team-by-team breakdowns here. But Ryan, game one, doubleheader, Thursday, Braves-Phillies, A.J. Smith-Shawver leaves. He felt a pop in his arm. They're calling it an elbow strain for now. I already put him on the IL before game two to call up a reliever, which tells you already out the gate, not good. Obviously has to go undergo imaging. If there's swelling, it might take longer, yada, yada, yada. The velocity was down like 4 miles an hour from his first pitch that inning to the last pitch he threw. That was a massive drop. Lots of concerns, of course. We can all speculate here. We don't know. But what are your thoughts on A.J. Smith-Shawver, who's heading to the IL?
I didn't really understand because he got hit by a comebacker, too, like in the foot. And then also his elbows, obviously, of chief concern. So, yeah, that is tough. The reliever who they called up, I forget his name. I was watching some of game two. He actually pitched in game two. They called him up. Like, they literally, like, called him on the road in the minors this morning, and he made it up to – they played in Philadelphia – made it up to Philly in time for game two. So that was kind of funny.
It was Michael Peterson, was recalled.
Yes, that's who it was. Correct. Correct.
Told him to flip a Yui and come back, buddy.
Yes. But do not fab Michael Peterson or whatever. No. Peterson.
No. He's only going to be up. Well, he might be up for a bit, but we don't know who the next pitcher is going to be. And that's the one we might fab, but I don't think so.
I mean, it's probably Bryce Elder filling in
most
for
likely, yes.
AJSS. So we've been down the Bryce Elder path before.
We don't get the Giants next week. If so,
we don't want to go down there. Yes, plays at your Giants. Would line up for your Giants next time out. So,
yep.
Congratulations.
Well, Giants have been up and down of late when it comes to offense. So I wouldn't get too excited just yet. But with that being said, we're going to move right into it, Ryan, because we go team by team. We go deep into all of this. So let's talk it. Let's do Fab preview here for week 11. And when we look at the schedule, what stands out to you this week? Because last week we only had two teams play 7 games.
Yeah, this current week, I guess. Yeah, there's – and we're seeing that on Thursday, right? That's why we have this Thursday of, like, pretty much no baseball. So next week is looking better. I'm just looking at this kind of for the first time. No 5 game weeks again, which is always nice. We've got the White Sox for 7, Tigers for 7, Twins 7, Athletics 7, all righties. Detroit is all righties too. That's a little bit of foreshadowing for some pickups there. Your Mets get 7, and then Dodgers, Padres, and Giants all get 7 games. So this is a nice week to take advantage of schedules. There are some brutal schedules. There are some much easier schedules. Just looking at the weekly planner that's available to our fine Patreon subscribers. But looks like a good week full of a lot of baseball. So I think we can all agree that's a good thing.
Totally agree with you on that. So without wasting anybody's time this evening, let's start off here in the AL East, as usual, with the Baltimore Orioles. They come up with six games this week, all on the road. Six at the Mariners, six in Sacramento, which we know we like. They face two lefties and four righties, but that Sacramento series is two lefties and one righty. If that does anything for you, I will also throw this out there before you take the floor, my friend, is Tyler O'Neill began baseball activities on Thursday. He's set to start a rehab assignment this weekend and could return next week if that's something people are interested in. I'm just out on Tyler, but that's an option for you. Bigger thing is Kjerstad might be adios amigo, so something to think about in those lines as well.
Yeah, and right, I think we're past the point of trying to roster Heston Kjerstad. I don't know, like, is Dylan Carlson, who's actually hitting a little bit, is he rosterable, at least for the At Athletic series? Maybe. But there's not much on the hitting side for the Orioles. The big mover, we talked about him on Tuesday, is ground Chuck, Charlie Morton. Yeah. But he would line up for the Athletic start. So I don't think we want to throw Charlie Morton. I think where we landed on Morton on Tuesday was like, skills are definitely better over the last month. He was on that strikeout minus walk leaderboard over the last 30 days, but still more of like a streamer. And you don't start streamers in Sacramento.
You do not start streamers in Sacramento. He would get the Angels the following week, which I would give him a little, I guess, nod in that regard. I want to throw out there, since we do have like bigger samples coming up here, I just wanted to mention Cade Povich, because it's been the overall results have not been great. Not going to deny that one bit. But I saw a tweet that made me dig in a little more on Cade Povich, because I've always had a soft spot for him. I've rostered him a lot. I've dropped him. I've added him. Yada, yada, yada. Last three starts, he struck out 9, 6, and 9. Walks are still an issue. It was 5 earned, 1 earned, 2 earned. So he's pitched well. That was Washington, at Boston, St. Louis. So got destroyed by St. Louis, struck out 9, pitched well at Boston, pitched pretty good against the Nats. I'm just going to throw that out there because I wanted to bring up next week he gets the Seattle Mariners, which in the month of May versus lefties, they have a 124 ISO. So be careful on that one is what I was going to bring up, because I saw a tweet that got people possibly excited on Cade Povich. And this is why I'm just kind of laying off of him for now. The following week, though, this is where it gets interesting. He gets Detroit and the Angels. That's why I really wanted to mention him, is watch out for this week. But yeah, Detroit's a tough matchup for lefties. They 137 WRC plus, very good in the month of May. But you have an Angels team that has an 86 WRC plus, strikes out 28% of the time. So keep an eye on Cade Povich is all I'm trying to say. If you have an extra roster spot, you can sneak him for a buck. He seems like he's trending in the right direction. You want to be ahead of the curve is all I'm saying on this one. Because pitching's so hard to find. We talk about it every week now.
Yeah, no, I'm chuckling because you're talking about Cade Povich like 3 weeks from now. But it does pay to be a step ahead, because you can get, if you're just looking at the next couple starts for Povich, yeah, it's at Seattle, Detroit. Like, that's tough. Get him cheap, stash him for a week or two. And then you could do that. I like it. You're two steps ahead of the game, man. Usually you're just one, but tonight you're two.
Yeah, something on Twitter actually was worth a damn and caught my mind instead of some other, but just whatever was on the feed. So maybe dig into him a little bit and take a look at it. All right, Boston Red Sox, they have six games this week. 3 at home versus the Angels, 3 at the New York Yankees. 4 lefties and 2 righties. It's the opposite. We don't get many of these, Ryan, these right, backwards weeks. Right. What are you looking at here? Because Christian Campbell is going to play first base this weekend. Obviously, it doesn't mean much until it's a full-time deal. But anything else standing out to you here with the Red Sox?
I mean, I think one thing to just keep in mind with this like reverse week where like the Red Sox only get two righties is like, you think Willy Abreu is like a set and forget. And I don't know if he is. If you're in a weekly league, I think you need to have backup options in place of Willy Abreu if he does not start against lefties, which he hasn't been. So like, I just a heads up on that one, like your typical platoon bats that you like to play a lot. Willier is probably not startable in 12s next week, maybe even 15s. So just want to throw that one out there. There's like Rob Refsnyder, Arizona grad.
I was with him out there because he starts when Abreu sits against lefties, and he's hitting .333 on the year versus lefties. And if you go into the deeper metrics, he has a 758 slug and 1172 OPS, 424 ISO, and a 208 WRC plus versus lefties this year. Destroys them.
That works.
So that like a weekly stream for a couple bucks, definitely in play.
Especially the first half of the week, because it's like the lefties are Tyler Anderson and Kikuchi. It's like,
yeah, ooh, that's bad.
So bad, I mean, it gets tougher the weekend with Rodon, but yeah.
Well, and Yarbrough's been actually serviceable.
And Yarbrough's been serviceable too. So yeah, I like the ref Snyder call. I like that. All right. One last thing, real quick, is Richard Fitz is back, I think, in line for a two-step next week. Just be a little cautious there. I think only through three innings. Yes. Don't know if he's fully stretched out for that two-step on paper. So while it is the Angels and then at the Yankees, I don't know if Fitz is stretched out enough for that Angel start, and then B, do you really want to start him in New York? So just be careful with that potential to start.
Yes, agreed. He was supposed to have a rehab start. They decided to bring him up for the real start instead. So, yeah, he's probably like the Yankee start on paper would be the one he's fully stretched out for, and that's the one you don't know if you really want to use him for. So, yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Great point. All right. Speaking of the Yankees, they have six games this week, all in the Bronx. So, you know, get your power hitting lefties and even soft hitting lefties available. They have two lefties and four righties on the docket, and the first half of the week is a pretty sweet schedule, Ryan. So, what are we looking at here? Trent Grisham has kind of quieted down, what I'll say, which we kind of expected, but anything else for you?
No, it's been very quiet for Trent Grisham. So it's just a heads up. Like, I think we got a question in the Discord or someone asked us, like, am I still starting Trent Grisham or do I go like Miguel Vargas, who has been much better over the past couple of weeks? Sure. I think in like a 10-team league, I think we both said Vargas at least right now, because in a 10 teamer, I think you're churning those guys and off the wire. So just a heads up, like, you're probably starting Trent Grisham this week because it is, like you said, an all home week and four righties. Like, you want lefties in I almost called it Lane Stadium for some reason, Yankee Stadium. Mind is elsewhere this evening, but
someone had a big game earlier tonight.
Some video game trailer got released today that you might be thinking about. The featured Enter Sandman, by the way, is the main video. But this is like a get right week for Trent Grisham. If Trent Grisham does not play well this coming week, I'd be concerned. So just a heads up there. Want to talk about the closer situation?
Yes,
right, because you mentioned this on Breakfast with Bubba that Luke Weaver did not pitch in back-to-back save opportunities. Is that right?
Yes.
So he pitched, it's just like, what's going on?
Previous two games. He pitched the previous two games, didn't pitch back-to-back. So maybe it's just extra days off. Who knows? But it's something I want to, we talked about before the show. I talked about it on Breakfast with Bubba. Like, you usually get one day off, not both. Right. So maybe it's just because he's a younger arm. They want to keep him fresh. Who knows? But it seemed a little different is the way I'll say it.
Right.
Because plus they have a day off today. So it's like he's 3 days off now. It's a weird dynamic.
Right. So he wouldn't have been able to pitch 2 days anyway. So, yeah. That's weird. I think that because of my follow-up question to you, I know you're the big Devin Williams guy, and I'm really just asking for anyone, on behalf of anyone who has Devin Williams at this point, like, this latest thing about Weaver, you probably want to hold Williams another week, but, like, how nervous are you about keeping Devin Williams, who was dropped in our Vegas Listener League, which is a 12-teamer this past weekend? And I'm kind of like, yeah, I can see why you would.
Yeah, I totally get it. I get the drop. I'm holding as much as I can still because it wasn't pretty, but he got the save the other day. He's pitched really well out of the eighth, and obviously it's not what we want him for. So, but literally, if he's still pitching the eighth, we've already saw that he was the first option. They went to, obviously, and go to him the next game. They went to Mark Leiter Jr. But in the same vein, if we're talking Devin Williams, he's been pitching a ton as well. It wasn't back-to-back games, but he's been very, very good in his new role. He seems like he'd be the first option if anything were to happen to Luke Weaver. So I'm sitting and waiting on this one. You want the closer for the Yankees if you can get him. Like, if you drop Williams now, which, again, I won't argue with you on that. Like, I get it. But if something were to happen to Luke Weaver in, like, 3 weeks, you're paying a boatload of money for Devin Williams. So, like, you talk about you can always have, like, a stash or maybe two in NFBCs. He's one of my stashes right now.
I'll be very curious to see what Devin Williams goes for in our Vegas league, because he'll be available for us all this weekend. So
let's see. When it comes to the Vegas league, I currently have $596 fab dollars. So we can dance a little bit in that one.
Let's dance. Here we go. Bubba's putting in his bid early.
You know me, big bids over here. Big bid Bubba. All right, Tampa Bay Rays, they have six games this week, all at home in that band box of a minor league ballpark, folks. If it is warm and there is any wind, like just stack them up. It's been livelier than Sacramento lately, which is crazy. Three against Texas, three against Miami, one lefty, five righties. It is a very, very good week if you have any Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes, and even that, like, the best pitcher going against the Rays is Nate Eovaldi, and who knows what Eovaldi's status is if he makes that start.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so we'll see. Great week for at home. Great week for any lefties on the Rays. Josh Lowe, Jonathan Aranda, probably widely rostered. Cameron Meisner, probably widely rostered, but certainly someone you want to start if you have Cam Meisner.
11%.
11% and 12s, Meisner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So there you go. There's a nice weekly streaming fab ad in 12 teamers. Meisner.
Yep.
You put this in the Discord earlier today, but since we're talking about it, Chandler Simpson has 19 steals already, which is just bonkers.
I'm always anti big bids, and I laughed when I got him in one of the standalones. I think it's not the Vegas one, of course. Maybe it's the Vegas one. I don't know. Got him real cheap. Like, he kind of went under the radar. I appreciate it. It's all I'm going to say. But it's going to get to a point that I don't need any more steals, and I'm probably going to have to drop him or something. But he does nothing else. Nothing else. He scores some runs and hits
for decent average,
but it's overall pretty bleak when all things are said and done. Michael C. in the chat here says, read something that wind changes Steinbrenner Park home runs more than anything, so your DFS props, etc. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's last week I was, when they were at home, Kevin Roth, who we've talked about before, is a really good MLB DFS weather guy on Twitter, and he was mentioning the weather slash with the wind last week, and it was just that's the game Hunter Brown got destroyed. Like, it's a wild ballpark, to say the least.
There is a Wrigley Wins Twitter account. I'm actually, as we're talking,
there is one.
Steinbrenner Field Wins account. I don't see one, though.
There's also a Arizona Diamondbacks Is the Roof Open account.
Does that matter that much?
Yeah, because it's 100 degrees outside. Matters a ton.
Well, it's always closed in the summer.
No, it's not. It doesn't always. And the runs correlate. Let's put it that way. So the starting pitcher decides.
What?
Because some like to be sweatier. I'm not kidding. They've talked about it a ton.
Are you screwing with me? What are we?
No,
really. I had not heard that.
I've played so much DFS. I know all these ins and outs of this. The starting pitchers determine the uniform you wear, and they get
wait a minute. No.
Yeah, the teams with multiple uniforms, they can determine the different hats and jerseys, not the City Connect ones, but the other ones. Yes.
Okay, that's what I was gonna.
No, not the City Connect.
The Connects tonight, boys. I'm
pitching. Yeah, no, but the other ones, they gotta say in that as well. Yeah.
Okay. I may fact check you on that one. I have never heard that before, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, go for it. I am wrong on many things, but I'm 99% sure I'm right on this one. For that last part, before we go to the Jays here, your pitchers aren't locks this week, because I'm going to say if you got Tampa Bay pitchers or pitchers going against Tampa Bay, tread cautiously is my best comment there. And they do have Yuri Perez scheduled to pitch that Saturday game. Keep an eye on that as well.
Whoa.
Because he's due for one more rehab start. He threw 5 shutout innings with 4 Ks on Wednesday, I believe. So he's going to have a rehab start early next week, and if all goes well, he will return next weekend.
That's right. That is that Perez. I did have Yuri Perez noted for Miami. So so league dependent. I know certain leagues, they have to be like labor and tout. I think they have to be on a MLB roster. NFBC, they had to have made their debut if they weren't drafted, yada, yada. But I don't know. If your league allows it, I think it's time to stash Yuri Perez. I like how we've talked about the Diamondbacks, roof and uniforms, and Yuri Perez, and we're still only on the Rays. So. Off to a
well, everybody go grab a cold one. It's gonna be a night, folks. It's gonna be a night. All right. Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto Blue Jays. They have 6 games this week. 3 at home versus the Phillies, 3 at Minnesota. The dome's always closed in Toronto. If you're curious, that's not a problem. Yeah. It's not always close, but pretty much is.
Can the pitcher say to open the roof at Sky Dome?
Yeah. Someone fact check me and tell me I'm wrong, please. I'd appreciate it. But I've heard it. I just heard it's a thing. One lefty, 5 righties. So that means get your Ernie Clement in your life, who went 3 for 5 with a home run and 5 RBIs on Thursday evening. That was a hell of a game from Ernie Clement. Still 5% rostered in 12s. Anything else stand out to you for the Jays?
No, I'll just give you props for the Ernie Clement. Well done. Well done. It's honestly a brutal schedule. It's Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, and Taiwan Walker, but then Paddock, Joe Ryan, Pablo Lopez. Like that's not the best schedule out there. So like someone more fringy, like I think Addison Barger,
like Ernie
fringe,
Clement.
even though it's Ernie Clement, I wasn't gonna go there. Yeah. Even like Santander.
Yeah.
God, he's been terrible. I it's just, if you have better options, maybe look at that this week, because it is one of the tougher schedules of any team out there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like there's certain leagues I did not start Addison Barger the first half of this week because there was a couple tough matchups in there, but yeah, a couple lefties actually, Sears and Lopez. Lopez won, yeah, and Barger sits versus lefties. So it's definitely something to monitor. He'll start versus righties, but to your point, with the tough schedule, not always auto starts. All right, AL Central. Chicago White Sox, 7 games this week, all at home, 4 versus Detroit, 3 versus the Royals, 3 lefties, 4 righties, make it very difficult to stream technically with your White Sox, but I'll continue to. I'm just proud of the people. Miguel Vargas is finally 89% rostered. That's great to see.
There we go. We're coming around. We've talked about Vargas, Mydroth, Andrew Benintendi. This may not be the best week because it's a 7 gamer, but it's only 4 righties, and it's also a very tough schedule that the righties aren't too bad. The lefties are Scooble and probably Cole Reagan, so that's tricky. But Andrew Benintendi came off the IL this past week, and I thought had been showing some pretty good batting average and power skills. So only 11% rostered in NFBC, or sorry, 12% rostered in NFBC, 12 teamers. So Andrew Benintendi, I like as an ad. What's your take on old Adrian Hauser, who has thrown 12 scoreless innings so far?
I keep stacking against him, and I'll continue to stack against him.
Yeah.
But he's looked, I'll at least tip my cap. I'll say that much. Like, it's been not the easiest of matchups because Kansas City this week, Houston the following week. I'll let someone else jump on that grenade.
I will too. Even with, again, it's a tiny sample, it's 2 starts, but, The skills aren't. I think this is still Adrian Hauser. So I would not get too excited for Adrian, but I do know people look at ERA and maybe think there's something there. And I think this is a landmine.
Andy Splinter in the chat mentioned the guy I was going to bring up. Again, not a great week for Mike Tauchman with 3 lefties, and he does sit versus lefties right now. But the dude, he came back from the IL a week ago. He's hitting .286 with a home run and 7 runs scored because he's walking 22% of the time. That's what Mike Tauchman does. So similar to your Benintendi comment, like this might not be the best week for him, but it's definitely a guy to keep on your radar. 15 teams for sure. There will be weeks and 12s where he's very streamable. So again, if you're doing a big waterfall and it's not a must start guy, you're just trying to adjust your bench, stream guys, I'd throw him in there. Let's put it that way, because he's going to be more serviceable than he's not in the future.
And OBP in points leagues too, for sure. Like you said, with the walks.
Yep, absolutely.
Who are we streaming against the White Sox this week? Good it's call. Flaherty. It's Jackson Jobe. Jobe
will be on the IL, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, I don't know if Jackson Jobe makes that start, and if he does, I don't know if you want to roll that. Casey Mize. So you're obviously starting Mize. Scooble. You're obviously starting Scooble. Chris Bubich. You're starting Cole Reagans. Everyone's if he rostered. Makes the start, you're throwing him. Everyone's rostered. Is Lorenzen widely rostered?
Yeah, because of the 2-step this last week. That he got shelled in the first start.
Yeah, 73%.
Yeah, he's 73. Rostered. Yeah, widely rostered.
So not much you can do to take advantage of your White Sox 7 gamer this week.
Yes, see who maybe gets announced as a spot starter for Jobe's spot, because the Tigers are calling up one of their top relieving prospects on Friday, and everyone's believing that's due to Jackson Jobe hitting the IL because of that massive diminished velocity in his last start. Like, things did not look good in that regard. So you will get a spot starter coming up here for the Tigers. And I guess, we are talking about a different team, but heck, why not? Let's just keep going down a rabbit hole. it's like, do you get the Brent Herter experience? Do you get the Tyler Horton experience? Is it an opener? Stuff to monitor going forward is the best way I'll play it.
Yeah, I'll probably be bullpen pick chaos given it's Detroit.
AJ Hinch style.
Yep.
All right, Cleveland Guardians, 6 games this week, 3 at the Yankees, 3 versus Houston, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. I don't really see much here. Like, Angel Martinez is hitting well, but I don't like the power skills have not been there at all. So not too interested. Lane Thomas is hurt again. That's That's not great. What's your thoughts on Slade Ciccone? I guess his start got pushed back, right? To his advantage.
He got a freaking gift. I didn't want him this last week because he's supposed to be Yankees and then Dodgers, and then next week the Yankees. Yes.
Right.
Now he got a start pushed back to this weekend, which is glorious. And now then he gets Houston, which is, you know, they're heating up a little bit. And it's Cincy the following week. I'm not in love with Slade Ciccone, but I'm more interested in him than I was before.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot depends. So Ciccone's 59% rostered in 12 teamers. So a lot's going to depend on how he looks, I guess, this weekend. But so far, just in 11 innings, strikeouts have been great. The whiffs have been there. So we know Cleveland can do things with starting pitchers. So I have kind of shushed away Slade Ciccone, been burned by him in the past, but keep an eye on how he looks this weekend. And you may be interested if there is some type of revival there with Ciccone.
And then I will get to it here in the next section, but I have another Detroit Tiger thing to mention. But anything else on the Cleveland Guardians?
Let's go to the Tigers.
All right, let's go to the Detroit Tigers, who have 7 games this week, 3 at the White Sox, which we always love, 3 at home versus the Cubs, all right-handed pitching, it appears. Before we get into the hitters, I want to comment, as I was doing some Twitter searching here, as I have it in my notes for tonight's Breakfast with Bubba recording, Sawyer Gibson Long, we talked about him last week, Ryan, as a guy that's rehabbing back on Thursday. These are his stats that just dropped. 5 1/3 innings, 1 run, 5 Ks at AAA. He could be taking the Jackson Jobe role. You might not be able to add him right now because he hasn't been rostered in NFBCs, but that is a name to keep on your radar.
I will absolutely look at Gibson Long in leagues where I can get him. Good call. Good call. Detroit, not only is it 7 games for Detroit, not only is it 7 righties for Detroit, it's 7 bad righties. It's a 12% K to walk for the 7 righties facing the Tigers next week. That is in Oregon Duck Green on the weekly planner. So that's a nice thing to target there. I think you can go for Colt Keith. I think you can go for Wenciel Perez is back from the IL and probably pretty widely available. I have been a fan of Wenciel Perez for at least the last year. I know I talked about him a bunch last year. I think he plays 7 games and decent power 0%. Speed. I think in 15 teamers, you can add Wenciel Perez.
Yep. 0% in 12s. So don't hate it there. Michael Cicchini saying Trey Sweeney week. I'm always a Trey Sweeney fan. It has been ugly for a few weeks.
Yeah. Good get right. Good get right week for Trey Sweeney for sure. Javier Baez. Remember him? Hasn't been so hot lately. Long season.
He got ejected the other day. That's pretty good.
That's right. He did. He did get tossed.
Yeah, he got tossed. Looks like the Mariners are trying to get tossed in this game. Javi Baez, I just wanted to bring up his stats because you mentioned that out of curiosity, how bad it's been. Yeah, it's been pretty bleak. He had that great stretch there. So since May 14th, that's when the slump began. So about, what was that, two-week stint? .154 with a home run. 22, still only 22.5% K rate, which is still a bit surprising for Javi Baez. But yes, not an auto start, maybe not a rosterable player in 12s.
Agreed.
You've been saving that one for a while, haven't you?
I have. I never really believed it. It was a good run, but I know. Like imagine fabbing.
That's who he is.
Grisham and Javier Baez, like 3-4 weeks ago. Yep. We say that all the time. We miss their best run of production. I don't know the right word is.
All right. You got it. Kansas City Royals. They have 6 games coming up this week, all on the road. 3 at the Cardinals, 3 at the White Sox, 1 lefty, 5 righties. I'm going to ask you, because I ask you every time, is the mountain erupting this week?
No, man. The mountain's been dormant for quite a while. The mountain's injured. What happened to the mountain? Mount Massey. He's hurt.
He's day to day. He's fine.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You don't want to go Michael Massey. It's not good. My big storyline for the Royals is I am absolutely on Jack Caglione watch. I actually picked him up in Tout Wars last week, which is kind of like a tricky thing because in Tout Wars you have to, I know no one cares about my team, but I'm just saying this is why I believe in him. In Tout, you've got to, if you pick anyone up, you have to start them for that week. So I got Caglione for like $5, very cheap. knowing I'm probably going to eat a zero for the full week, but then hoping that Caglione is up within like the next 2 weeks. Like I think it'll happen. I certainly hope it'll happen. We will see. But again, kind of another league rule type of thing. I think this is the time to add him if he is available. There were a few other people in tout that went for Caglione too. But they bid like $2 or $3. I went to $5. So I wasn't the only one with that idea willing to eat a week of zeros to get him for cheap.
Does John Rave do anything for you? He's got one hit in his three games since he was called up. He started every game. He's striking out a ton. In the minors, though, he's hitting .301, 9 home runs and 17 steals. With this upcoming schedule we're looking at here, with that great setup against Palante, Mikolas, at least, and you got Hauser, Cannon, Smith. Do you think this is the week to give him a roll and see if he can figure it out, or do you go like, hey, he's still a little rough?
Yeah, I think John Rave, probably not, but maybe. I mean, like in AL onlys, sure, because it's an easy schedule and it's right hand heavy, and maybe you get some bags. But no, I don't think he's any good. He's a 27-year-old who just made his debut this year. I don't know much about him, but the resume is not all that impressive.
I gotcha.
Mariners have given up 7 runs in the top of the 10th here. So there goes our Kyle Finnegan,
Josh Bell, 3-run homer. That's impressive. Stuff.
It's bad.
Minnesota Twins, they have 7 games coming up this week, 4 at the Athletics in Sacramento. That's a great look there. And then 3 against the Jays. It's 2 lefties, 5 righties. Problem is that 4-game series, it's 2 lefties and 2 righties. Makes the line change tricky.
Do we know when Matt Wallner's coming back?
Wallner and Buxton are both expected back this weekend. Wallner's been actually rehabbing. Wallner's 72% rostered in 12s. People are ready for the Matt Wallner experience. Buxton took batting practice, and they're both supposed to be coming back this weekend.
Okay. Cody Clemens continues to hit. Hit a home run this week. We're still a little murky on what the playing time situation will be for Cody Clemens when the Twins get all healthy. I'm assuming Cody Clemens, the playing time won't be there, but just wanted to shout him out that at least this past week so far it's looking good, but may not be going forward.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The question becomes, though, when Wallner returns, are we worried about Clemens' playing time?
That's right. That's what I mean. And if Buxton comes back too. Like it's just another body in the outfield. I know Clemens has been playing right field, but yeah, I'm worried about Clemens playing time when Wallner comes back.
I want to throw this out here though. Are we starting Royce Lewis these days?
Dude, I know.
Because I wrote him up as a fallers, and the only solace I'm giving him is it's only been like 18 games because he was hurt so much to start the season. So maybe he's still getting comfortable. But even at that point, like that's why I'm not saying drop, but are we playing him?
Yeah, I stashed Royce Lewis, drafted and stashed Royce Lewis on my infamous Tofu Bats, beat the Bloom team, and Lewis is probably the mascot for that team, hitting .138, 1 home run, 70 plate appearances. I don't know, man. The plate skills look really good still. Very low swinging strike, 14% K, so that's good. Hitting the ball pretty hard, 9% barrel rate. So I think you just wait it out and start Royce Lewis, unless you have like another really good option in a 12.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to bring him up, because when I looked at him, the production's been horrible. But to your point, under the hood, it's like, okay, that's why I said maybe he's still just getting caught up to speed. That's what it feels like with him.
Yeah. Yep.
And he'll probably get caught up to speed and then get hurt, but we know the drill there.
Of course.
All right, to the AL West we go. The Athletics, they have 7 games this week, all in the friendly confines of Sutter Health Park in Sacramento. 4 against the Twins, 3 against the Orioles. Not the best matchups to start the week. Great to finish the week. But you still want to get these guys going, and hopefully Nick Kurtz returns sometime next week.
Yeah, agreed. But that thing with the A's, like it's a beautiful week, right? 7 home games, but like who do you pick up? I'm not going for CJ Alexander, especially if Kurtz comes back. Alexander would lose time. I mean, we can always fall back on old faithful Miguel Andujar. I feel like we do that every week. Is he, the hell is he in 12s? Probably pretty low.
It's 50-50.
He's 49%. You can roll with Miguel Andujar, I guess, in this week just because it is 7 home games. But outside of that, I don't know.
I don't even know what they're doing, honestly, with all these moves they've made in the last week. It's perplexing, to be honest. Denzel Clark looks just like a lost soul.
No, he does not look good.
He's bad. And then they call up Logan Davidson, who can hit, but then they're platooning him with CJ Alexander. There's just so many things going on. I don't even know who Drew Avens is, and I follow the depth of this team every week. So This is a very bizarre situation in Sacramento right now. I want to bring up Jacob Lopez, who got his destroyed, is the way I'm going to put it nicely, on Thursday evening in Toronto, because he was looking like a kind of intriguing option as he pitched so well in the first one. And I was digging in. He had really good numbers in the minors in the strikeout department and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, this could be something if he proves it in another start. He did not prove it in another start. So I just wanted to bring that one up there because he gets a two-step next week against Minnesota and Baltimore. I think you can all step away from your computers and not partake in that. Even though Minnesota, 89 WRC plus versus lefties, Baltimore 94, so they're just below league average. But you put that ballpark into play, you walk away.
You walk far away. It's a zero step. I was going to come back at you with Ernie Clement homer. I was going to say it was off Jacob Lopez. So did it really count? But I guess I did just go there. But
yeah. It did. It did count because I checked my fantasy teams where I started him and it counted. Hey. So yes.
Hey, Bo Bichette's home run off him also counted too. So
do we need a Bo Bichette versus Mason Wynn update for you? Or
yeah, let's do it.
You were pretty nervous. You're pretty nervous there for a second.
Well, no, it's hilarious, dude. I am on an absolute island with this Mason Wynn Bo Bichette.
No, it's you and Joe Arrico on your island.
Every time Mason Wynn takes a ball, the Discord just goes nuts, and Mason Wynn's the man. Blah 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 blah. Whenever Bo Bichette does anything, just nothing, and. Yeah, you are very popular in terms of being on team win for that, but I'm going to pull up the hell they play.
I got a win stat, so I'll wait for yours. Oh, you're doing the player raider. That's right. Okay.
Player raider. Babe Bobichette's 15th. Mason Wynn is 14th.
Oh, okay. I think that's called ahead.
Bobichette homer tonight, though, so Bobichette will jump ahead. But that could be a battle all summer. Could be
it's a lot closer than it was a few weeks ago. It's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I was ready to what the hell? A couple days ago, Mason Wynn was
you were scrolling down looking for Mason. It didn't work.
Yeah, this isn't good. I got a couple team Bichette in the Discord with me, but it's funny, man. Whenever Wynn does something, everyone goes nuts. I just have to eat it. I think they just like picking on me. I get it.
Yeah, they have to because I do enough things to make myself look foolish. So I have to get mine when I can, Ryan. All right, a team that's heating up, the Houston Astros. They took advantage of Tampa Bay's ballpark last week. They're back home doing it again. They have 6 games this week, though, all on the road. So we'll see how they do at Pittsburgh and at Cleveland. 1 lefty, 5 righties. Yordan Alvarez took batting practice on Thursday versus a pitching machine. The Astros are bringing in minor league pitchers to throw live batting practice to them, basically. And it's like bringing in, you know, animals for the tiger to eat, basically. Like, hey, here's some real food. And, they're just waiting for Alvarez to say he feels fine. So we have no idea. It could be tomorrow morning. It could be next Tuesday. We have no idea.
I did notice that because I don't know. Maybe that happens and we just don't hear about it. But I think it is funny. Instead of putting Yordan Alvarez on a rehab assignment, we bring the rehab assignment to Yordan.
Yes.
we just cycle through these pitchers.
Because if he hits off of him at 4 o'clock and says at 4:15 he feels good, he's in the lineup tonight.
We back.
What's going on?
Yeah, we're back. That's hilarious. Outside of that, I don't have, and obviously Yordan Alvarez is owned, but I don't really see, like, Cam Smith is, I think, stole another base tonight. Cam Smith is turning it around lately, but I think pretty widely rostered. I'm not going to recommend Mauricio Dubon, so we could get another Jake Myers debate if you want, but I don't think we want to go there. No. So, I don't know. Not much you can do in FAB this week from Houston standpoint.
The only thing I'd mention is in deeper formats, if you're looking for a desperate catcher too, Victor Caratini's back to playing pretty regularly. He's hitting almost 300 in May. He did this last year in like late August and September. He's hit 2 home runs, hitting close to 300 in May. So in a deep league as a catcher too, he plays DH, he catches. Now that could change when Yordan comes back. So keep that in mind. But they've shown to like to use Caratini. And with Christian Walker's hand injury, Caratini can play first as well. So that's something else to monitor in that situation. So deep league, catcher two, stream. He is not a guy that's completely walked past, is my point.
Yep, I like it.
What are we doing with Lance McCullers Jr.?
Ooh, looked, 12 Ks in his last start?
12 Ks in 6 innings.
I don't know.
He's 11% rostered. 11% rostered, man. I don't trust it at all.
I don't trust it at all either, but some smart people do, and
He has a two-step next week at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland.
That is pretty nice. That is pretty nice. For me, I'm staying away because I think you're going to have to spend a little bit to get McCullers. And I just feel like it's one of those, if he proves me wrong this year and stays healthy this year, I'll tip my cap. But that's not something normally process-wise that I'm going to spend even, you know, a decent chunk of fab on.
Totally agree. Just wanted to bring him up because he is low-owned and two-step, and people will be – yep. I'm just the
we
guy.
We could be wrong, like, too. Totally.
Oh, I could definitely be wrong. I'm rooting for him. I'm just afraid that other injuries just looming around the corner at any moment in time. Yeah. All right. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Six games this week. Three at Boston. Three versus the Mariners. All right-handed pitching. Mike Trout back on Friday at tomorrow. Maybe the day you're listening to this, he will be back. Matthew Lugo back to AAA. That's one guy out of the way. Tim Anderson's been DFA'd. Chris Taylor has joined the team. Yeah, Luis Rengifo is the new Gene Segura. I think I hit on – oh, Scott Kingery's up, which I'm pumped about. I think I hit all the bullet points.
I think you hit on all the bullet – I actually have a few DCs with Scott Kingery. I thought Kingery would, like, could hit well in the first month while Neto was out. And
yes.
That's why I drafted him.
100%.
So anyway, no, I don't have anything. I mean, I wrote a speculator column this week at Baseball HQ doing downside projections. And unfortunately, the cover boy of that article was our good mascot, Luis Rengifo. I think, I don't know what's going on, but it's not good. And if you want to drop Rengifo, I think in 12s, I won't stop you. I can't stop you, but I won't berate you.
I fully condone that as well. I mentioned it in the Discord. I wrote up my risers and fallers at Fantasy Pros, and I dug in on Rengifo, and it's beyond brutal. Like, there's barely a pulse, it feels like, watching him, his stat line right now. So totally get it.
And still 26% started in 12 teamers right now, Luis Rengifo. So it's just that's the prime Gene Segura All-Star Award, just in your lineup every day, playing every day, but doing absolutely nothing.
As Kevin Hastings says, is it Moore season, Christian Moore season? They just promoted him to AAA. He's already hitting well there. I'd hope so. But, you know, then they go sign Chris Taylor and all these other things. I think Moore's a post-All-Star break guy to me. That's what it feels like. So a little bit longer for him, but we should get at least a month or two, I'd imagine, in season. Probably just enough to still be rookie eligible next year is my guess on Christian Moore. All righty, before Kyle Finnegan gets out of this non-safe situation, hopefully without a run scored, let's get to the Seattle Mariners. They have six games this week, three at home versus Baltimore, three at the Angels, two lefties, four righties, but a very favorable week, Ryan.
Very favorable week. I just don't know fab-wise who you're rolling with, because like your rowdy Tellez, four righties. I don't know if you're doing that, but in general, it is a nice schedule for the Mariners. I wanted to go more to the mound.
Yes.
Bryce Miller's coming back, I think, this weekend. I am worried as hell about Bryce Miller. Like, I don't know if you can, if let's see how he looks this weekend. If Bryce Miller doesn't look good or velocity's down or whatever, I don't think you can start Bryce Miller in pretty much any format right now.
No. The dude's got bone spurs. He's going to pitch through it, they said. Okay. Right. They said he figured out how to not pitch with pain. That means he changed his delivery. Okay. Right. We know how that always freaking goes. Again, they did it with Brian Wu. It's worked. It wasn't bone spurs, but it's worked. Bryce Miller is, I believe, pitching Friday night. I believe that's the word on the street. Logan Gilbert threw a rehab start on Thursday. He could be back next week as well. He'll
be back a little George later, but yeah, he's coming back.
George Kirby should have stayed on his rehab assignment because it's been two horrific starts since he's returned. There you go, Zach Lettner. It's bumpy. It's bumpy in Seattle.
I will say, in terms of like who I'm worried about the most, it's Bryce Miller. I'm not all that worried about George Kirby. I think it's been a long layoff. It's been some rust. If you can afford the opportunity to bench Kirby until he has his kind of his first good start, maybe you could go that route, but I'm not too worried about Kirby. I think long-term he'll be fine.
Yeah. Logan Evans got sent back down after a phenomenal start a couple days ago. Keep your finger on the Logan Evans pulse. So I'm going to say he might be back soon is what it feels like. So watch that. I'm with you. There's not a lot of bats. I need to backtrack 1 second for the Angels to mention one more thing. Robert Stevenson was activated on Wednesday. Robert Stevenson, when he signed with the Angels over a year ago before he had Tommy John surgery, was expected to be the closer for the Angels. Kenley Jansen is the closer, but we might have a new number two in place if Stevenson can look good for a couple outings, just keep that on the radar as well.
Yep.
All right, Texas Rangers, they have six games this week, three at Tampa, three at Washington, one lefty, five righties. A Texas Rangers team that is still very frustrating when it comes to offense.
Very frustrating. Seager's back this week, so if you're starting Josh Smith, maybe that playing time starts to dwindle. And I am starting Josh Smith and some 15-teamers, so might be looking at some alternatives there. Wanted to go to the bullpen. Does it seem like Robert Garcia is the guy right now in Texas? Last two saves.
For now, yes.
Do you like Robert Garcia? Doesn't sound like it.
I have him in some 15s. I don't mind him. Just don't spend a ton of money. I saw some dumb money get spent last week. He's good. He doesn't give up a ton of hard contact, which is a plus as well. But I would – this whole situation in Texas, none of them are like elite options. He's just the best option at this point in time.
I'm gonna strike a more optimistic tone on Robert Garcia. This is someone who had a 24% strikeout minus walk last year. Pretty elite skills in Washington. 60 innings of it, too. Yep. So he can miss bats. Control's decent. Like you said, the hard contact hasn't been there. I think Robert Garcia can hold it at least for a little bit. I don't know. Is he widely? He's 42% rostered in 12. So I think if you need saves, I would go – like I wouldn't go as hard as you and I went on – Palencia, I don't think, but I don't know if I don't know. Maybe they are that close, but maybe I'm overrating Robert Garcia. I think he's okay.
No, I think he's okay. Like people are very excited when the Rangers got him from the Nationals. I have no problem if people want to. Like I said, I had him in 15s. If you need saves and 12s, go for it. Just don't go crazy. That's all I'm trying to say on that one. Keep it inside the parameters of sanity. Kumar Rocker rehab start. They've denied him being a closer.
Yeah, that was so weird. Yeah, like it's fake news situation on our hands. Yeah, Kumar Rocker really closing.
Really makes me like a big dumb, and I can do that on my own. So that was pretty good. I want to mention a hitter, though. You skipped over. Is Alejandro Osuna, the guy, 22-year-old, that was called up recently for the Rangers. He's hit safely in 2 of 4 games. He's walking 23% of the time. AAA at .279 average, 2 homers, 9 steals. He's been like a 15 to 20 stolen base guy throughout the minor leagues, super young, really good quality of contact metrics throughout his minor league career. I don't mind him if you want to take some chances on him, especially with matchups like they have this week coming your way, especially that, you know, you got Rasmussen's been good, but Boz has struggled. Pepio's been up and down. Soroka and Trevor Williams. Like I'd take some Osuna in this one.
Okay. Probably more just a short-term type of deal because – like when Evan Carter comes back.
Evan Carter's starting to rehab tomorrow on Friday. So
yeah,
that could be a short-term deal. That is a very good point. That this whole conversation could be moot by Sunday when they say Carter's back on Monday. But I do think Osuna's very good. I think he's better than Sam Haggerty, who's been on this team playing regularly, which I guess
could be better than Carter. I say somewhat in
very
jest.
Well could be better than Carter. That is 100% correct, actually. So I hope they stick with Osuna. I guess time will tell on that one.
Yeah, good call.
All right, let's head to the National League East here, the Atlanta Braves. They have six games this week, three versus Arizona, three at the Giants, all right-handed pitching. It's the Braves, though.
Yeah, I got nothing here. The only thing I had was Smith Shauver out, Bryce Elder in, but we talked about that at the top, so I don't see any fab movement here this week in Atlanta.
All right, the Miami Marlins, they have six games this week, three at home versus Colorado, three in that friendly matchup ballpark in Tampa Bay, one lefty, five righties for your Miami Marlins. So good week to stream. Xavier Edwards is back on Friday, going to play second base while Otto Lopez stays at shortstop. So the bus driver's taking a right turn to the shortstop position. What else you got for us with the fish?
Yeah, Michael Cecchini pointed that out to us in the Discord earlier today. Otto Lopez has 8 games already at shortstop. So Otto Lopez will probably enter next week, second base and shortstop eligible. Hitting pretty well right now, too. So I like Otto Lopez. Yep, great week for Jesus Sanchez. Outside of that, we talked about Yuri Perez earlier, but like the Yuri Perez stash. Just going to bring up real quick, the bullpen is an absolute mess. Ronnie Henriquez was a somewhat popular ad last week. We didn't talk about on the Fab show, but picked up a win and a save last weekend, a save on the Sunday save. Like that's always going to inflate the draft price. And then our good doctor, emerges from the ashes. Alvin Fauché gets the save on Wednesday. I don't think there is a closer, set closer right now in Miami.
No, I think it's still Enriquez, because Enriquez went with a win, then got a save, then blew the save and got the win when Fauché got the save. So he was in for the closing job again. I still think it's Ronnie Enriquez right now, but it's a mess nonetheless. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's whatever. It's a mess. And even like,
you don't want,
and who the hell cares anyways, because it's Miami. But like, how many save opportunities? What is Miami? They're 22-32. I mean, that's not great.
Better than the Rockies. All right. New York Mets, they have 7 games coming up this week. 4 at the Dodgers, 3 in Coors Field, which is nice. 2 lefties, 5 righties. A sweet 3 righty weekend in Coors, if you can get it. Your boy, Mr. Brett Beatty, he's up to 83% rostered, so people are respecting his name. Anything else standing out? Jeff McNeil's 11%. Anything you're interested in with the Mets?
Not really. Just wanted to acknowledge Mr. Brett Beatty there. Laughed out of the room a week or two ago when I brought him up. So Brett Beatty's looking good. Honestly, another good week to use Brett Beatty, given this this crew going against the Mets. The only thing I was going to add, I think you mentioned this too in either your Patreon article or breakfast, is Edwin Diaz. Like, doesn't seem like he's pitching back-to-back days. Reed Garrett got 2 saves.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know if anything is actionable there, but just something to keep track of.
Well, it comes down to, like we talk about sometimes, there's relievers that are better than streaming options. Like, it went Saturday, Diaz got the save. Sunday, Garrett got the save. Monday, Diaz got the win. Tuesday, Garrett got the save. So it's like not a back-to-back thing right now. So Reed Garrett does have some fantasy viability right now, especially if something like this stays in this kind of pattern, for sure.
Yeah.
And then I will just bring up Griffin Canning. It's getting ugly, folks. It's getting ugly the last, especially his last start. So maybe the regression monster is slowly coming his direction. I'm still playing him, but just realize it's not a automatic at this point in time.
It's definitely so. The next start is at the Dodgers for Griffin Canning. So
that's a sit for me if I can.
Yes. Stay away.
I'd rather play Reed Garrett, to my point.
Probably. Yeah. To your exact point. Yep.
Yeah. Philadelphia Phillies. They have 3 at the Jays, 3 at the Pirates. That already sounds great on paper. And yes, there's the green. 3 lefties and 3 righties is different, but the Phillies just play the same guys. So who gives a?
Yeah, and they are basically back and forth with Detroit for the best record in baseball. They are rolling right now. Why would the Phillies change anything? So they're awesome, but can't really do much in terms of fab. Like, I don't see anything there. Jordan Romano has looked up and down, but he's definitely, like, he's gotten every save chance.
He's the man still.
Have. So I think we know at least for now what's going on there, unless Romano coughs it up, which could happen.
Yep, definitely could happen on that one. All right, let's take a look at the Washington Nationals. Sorry. They have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Cubs, 3 at home versus the Rangers, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Washington Nationals, who just put a drubbing on Seattle in extra innings. What do you like here? Because I will say, it's not just because he had a 3-run homer tonight. Josh Bell's quietly waking up, and he's widely available. He's still been garbage all season, but in some nice matchups, someone to keep an eye on. But other than that, what do you like with the Nats?
Yeah, good point on Bell. I just don't think this is good enough to go with Bell. I think he's still a platoon bat in only 4 games. Like, I don't know. I don't have much on the Nats. Finnegan just pitched.
Robert Hassel?
Well, we talked about him. I mean, he was the last week guy, wasn't he?
He's 9% rostered.
What? Oh, was he not available?
I just looked him up. Okay. 9% rostered.
Oh, okay. What did Robert Hassel do this week?
227 with a home run and a steal.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Playing every single day, which is nice. So, I didn't realize Hassel was that lowly owned. I think the playing time will be there regularly, at least until Dylan Cruz comes back, because I don't think... what's his name? Jacob Young is healthy, and Alex Call isn't really rosterable either. So yeah, I think obviously the 12 teamers have spoken, since no one really picked Hassel up, but if you want a conditional outfielder, you can go there.
All right. Now to your Finnegan and company conversation.
Yeah, Finnegan pitched the whatever inning tonight in extra innings in a non-save situation, but that's because the Nationals scored like six, eight, seven, eight runs. I don't know. This is all over on the podcast in the top of whatever inning. So short story is the Nationals do feel Kyle Finnegan is healthy. And in a game that went to extra innings, they saved Kyle Finnegan for the theoretical save op, which I think is a huge deal. So I think right now, any hopes that Jorge Lopez might be a closer and Finnegan's out, I think for now, those have been squashed, and I don't think Jorge Lopez is even good anyway. So hopefully Kyle Finnegan is good to go going forward.
Yeah. Jorge Lopez blew the Mackenzie Gore save. So, yeah, he should be cut on all fantasy formats. real quick, back to Philly. Michael C. and Scott Slezak have a good point. If Harper misses time, he's missed three games now since he got hit on the elbow by Spencer Strider. Sosa could be relevant in deep leagues. I wanted to bring it up, though, because we talked about it last week, Ryan. In at least daily leagues, Sosa will play versus lefties. They have those three lefties coming up, and he's been very good versus lefties. So if we got to give any Phillies nuggets, Edmundo Sosa is a guy to keep in mind. And even if you're streaming in like an NFPC format, he's actually going to play two out of three games over the weekend against Falter, Heaney, and Burrows. Like, that could be a really good spot for Edmundo Sosa to stream as well. Just want to throw that out there. Juicy. Good call, juicy. By the boys.
Good call by the chat, who's usually smarter than us. So good, great call.
Yep. All right. Let's head to the NL Central. Chicago Cubs, six games this week, three at Washington, three at the Tigers, one lefty and five righties on tap for the Cubbies. But for the most part, the Cubbies are the Cubbies.
Cubbies are the Cubbies, scoring a ton of runs. Really, the only platoon situation is at first base, Michael Bush, Justin Turner. So a decent Michael Bush week if you want to go there, but I think pretty widely rostered. We're kind of both. We both picked up Daniel Palencia in some leagues this past week, so we've been texting each other. Kudos on that one, which we all know how that ends, flat on our face at some point this season. But Daniel Palencia looks like the guy.
My only goal is to get more saves than Luke Jackson before it implodes. Yeah. That's all I want. That's all we're I already, want. I told you that from the
he's
beginning.
He's already, I think, three-eighths
of the way there. He's a quarter of the way there.
So, yeah, it does seem like Palencia is the guy right now. Porter Hodge is not rehabbing well, and Ryan Pressly is not performing well. So, looks like Palencia is there. But, again, that was more of a last week ad. I think Palencia is pretty widely rostered, 92% in 12-teamers. So, outside of that, I don't have much for the Cubs.
Yeah, Dr. Doom and TDK talking about Matthew Boyd. He's been phenomenal. He was my cover boy on my matchups the other day, and he dealt first the Rockies, as he should, but it's been really, really good. I want to bring up the likes, though, of Cade Horton and Ben Brown, Ryan. Both are struggling. Ben Brown tremendously of late. The underlying metrics don't make me feel warm and fuzzy with Ben Brown. So where do you sit on these young arms? Because they kind of need them still, because Facade had a setback, which made you rather happy. They don't have a lot of depth in the starting pitching situation. Horton's got a two-step we'll discuss next week, so you're probably starting him anyways. Brown's got Detroit, which is tough, as we mentioned. So where do you sit on these young arms?
Yeah, I mean, Horton did pitch well his last time out. It was against the Rockies, so obviously a grain of salt there, but 6 Ks, 1 walk, 6 innings, 2 runs. So, like, not too bad. Maybe in, I think in 15-teamers, you're rolling with Cade Horton. Ben Brown, dude, that's someone I'm just going to have to, like, eat my words, man, because I feel like this is like a Nola Pivetta type, where like the skills are there, and I will stand by that, but Ben Brown is just not able to get it done there. And I know some folks in our Discord talked about kind of the two pitch thing. Doesn't have a third pitch that he's able to kind of get through the third time in the order. That could certainly be a thing. I need to, just in terms of my process, how I look at players, I always trust the skills, but I feel like for someone like Ben Brown who hasn't been there, I need to kind of rein back on. So I'm worried about Ben Brown, but I also think he's going to take his job at this point. So
that's the biggest thing. Like, it's their job for a while with all the injuries taking place in that rotation. I will say Shoto Amanaga on Wednesday, threw a 25-pitch bullpen. He did some agility drills and running, so the hammy is healing. He's supposed to throw another 25 pitches and more agility drills this weekend. If that goes well, he'll start a rehab assignment next week. They haven't said how many starts he'll need, but at least one. So in a perfect world, we got him back in like 2 weeks, if all things work out well, which would be a huge plus. And that's been maybe Ben Brown really gets nervous. So yep, that's agreed. The one there.
Yep.
All right, the Cincinnati Reds, they have six games this week, all in Great American Small Park. Three at home versus Milwaukee, three at home versus Arizona. Damn, they missed Zach Gallen. That sucks. One lefty and five righties on the docket for you. So go get your boy. If he comes off the IL, Jake Fraley, that's been kind of a quiet talking point, I'll say that much. But are we going into Will Benson week?
It could be Will Benson week after I trashed him last week. So, like, probably Will Benson, more people like him than I do. But this is a good week for Will Benson. This is the week you want to have someone like Will Benson where it's all at home, it's all righties. I think Gavin Lux is pretty widely rostered. Is Fraley coming back next week? I hadn't heard much on Fraley.
I haven't heard anything official yet. It's been, like, up and down. He's supposed to start a rehab soon, but keeps getting pushed back. Lux is 71%, so 29% of you, this would be a great week to pick up Lux, because even though the power's not been great, he has been hitting for a very good average.
Yep. So you want to add him if he's available, because, yeah, it's also not only is it home and it's righties, it's 11.9% K to walk. So for the starting pitchers against the Reds. So not the best quality of competition either. So that's a great week to use your Reds lefties.
Very much so. Anything else on the pitching side of it? I don't think so, but I just wanted to ask you on that one.
No, I don't have anything on them.
All right, Milwaukee Brewers, they have six games this week, three at Great American, then they go back home to face the San Diego Padres for three. It's one lefty and five righties this weekend. The Padres series is juicy. Maybe Yu Darvish returns. That's still a maybe on this one. Where are you at with Milwaukee? Because we'll start with the hitters, and I got a pitching question for you.
Right. Well, I had pitching questions for you.
I had a feeling we're talking about the same person. Yes.
Caleb Durbin's kind of looking good again. 44% rostered, I think, in 12. So I think you can look at Caleb Durbin. Even Joey Ortiz starting to show a little bit of a pulse, but that's more of like a 15-team play, in my opinion. But I think for me it's the rotation. Like, we all scoffed when Logan Henderson was sent back to AAA this week. I have a decision to make whether I need to drop Logan Henderson or hold him. It definitely doesn't seem like he has a spot with Quintana coming back, with Woodruff coming back. Like, it seems like there may be two obstacles for Henderson to get back into the rotation. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, because Quintana is supposed to pitch, I believe, Sunday. And Woodruff will have one more start at AAA next week, and then he's back. So, yeah, it's a double hurdle situation. As TDK says, Henderson's drop. He probably is, but it's a very painful drop. A very painful drop. Like, I'd hold him as long as possible because he will be back whenever an injury takes place. I just know it's not always a possibility on every team.
I'm going to have to see. I know it's the ultimate cop-out, but I'm going to have to see, because I have Le Henderson, I think, in the 15-teamers. I'm just going to have to see what...
That's even a
better threshold. Feels like. Right, like, what threshold do I really want to drop Logan Henderson and add whoever? I can't think of somebody, Cade but Povich. Somebody
who... Do you want Cade Povich for those starts we talked about?
Who has,
that's your options.
Who has two good starts 8 weeks from now?
Yes. Yeah.
So, anyway. Like Andy agreed, please. Priester should get out of the way, but again, and this is maybe a mistake in my process. Like, I thought Henderson was good enough to stay up. I'm like, the Brewers can't send him down. And
I don't know. That is a possibility, but it feels like Priester's out of the way when Woodruff comes back. So that's the problem. Or even
it goes back to the double.
Because Friday, tomorrow, day you might be listening Friday, Priester is supposed to start. Now, DL Hall's going to open, and Priester's going to be the long man in that game. So, that you can tell that spot in the rotation is a moving target, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What else did you want to ask? Is that all you had to ask?
I wanted your take on Henderson and just the rotation as a whole right now.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair on that one. I wanted to bring up Freddy Peralta for everybody because he gets Great American Small Park this week, which tough. Freddy Peralta is not been great of late. That's just the best way I'm going to put it. The ERA is 2.77. That's pretty awesome, but it is a 3.94 Sierra, which you don't want from Freddie. More importantly, it's a 15% K to walk. We talked about him on the last show, Ryan, on the 30-day live Bloom board for starting pitchers. Things have been dropping off when it comes to
yep.
To so yeah, it's I don't know if he's an auto start against Cincinnati's all I'm bringing up.
It's a two-step, though. So you, the second is against
the Padres. It is an auto start. But say you're in a daily league, like our buddy, like our buddies in the chat, in the Discord. I don't know if it's an auto start.
Yeah. I think you still do it, but it's, you could get burned. It's the control and the velocity decline for me. That combination of two things. It's worrisome. It's Freddie Peralta. I will just say it's just someone who's no longer an auto start. I think you just got to see what else.
That's where I was kind of going with that. So perfect. Well, much better said than I did. And then the last thing I'll bring up here, we talked about him last week, but once again, if you want to continue to stash pitchers, Abner Uribe is a great stash in case anything were to happen to Trevor Megill. Uribe has been outstanding in the back end of that Brewers bullpen.
Agreed.
Pittsburgh Pirates, they have six games coming up this week, all at home. Three versus Houston, three versus Philly. It's actually a really tough schedule. And it's three lefties and three righties, which makes it even tougher if you like the Pirates. So I don't have a whole lot here.
No, brutal schedule for the Pirates. You could, I mean, since you're catcher man, if you're in a two-catcher league, you just need somebody. You could look at Henry Davis. But again, the schedule is very tricky, so I wouldn't. It'd be more just like filler in a two catcher league. We did get, actually had this on my notes to cover for Pittsburgh, but also in the chat, I think Michael said is Nick Gonzalez alive, who got hurt in like the first week of the season. Last note on RotoWire is May 22nd. He was on a rehab assignment, I believe, in AAA, paused it. So I don't know, but I think when Nick Gonzalez does come back, which could be like next week, if he does come back, Nick Gonzalez in a 15-teamer. I really liked him. It was like him and the auto man, the bus driver, late at second base. So keep an eye on Nick Gonzalez in your 15-teamers.
Yep, big Nick Gonzalez fan as well. So that's a good call there to your Henry Davis point. The last seven games he's played, he's hitting .400 with an 11% barrel rate. And Joey Bart is on the seven-day concussion IL with Indy Rodriguez getting activated. So definitely backing up that thought with you on that. St. Louis Cardinals, six games at home this week, three versus the Royals, three versus the Dodgers, all right-handed pitching for the Cardinals. But the Cardinals are another team where they pretty much just play the same guys, and it's working well because they're winning. It's funny. The teams that play the same guys, Ryan, they're playing good baseball. I know it's a weird situation here.
Are healthy, have stable, good lineups, or the same guys play every day. Like, yeah, that is a that is an interesting coincidence there. So, yeah, I feel bad. We kind of gloss over the Cardinals pretty much every week this year, but I don't have anything. There's just not much movement, and the guys that are good, you're playing, and, yeah, they're all rostered. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything.
All right, let's head to the NL West here with the Arizona Diamondbacks on the road this weekend, three at Atlanta, three at Great American, two lefties, four righties on the docket here. Arizona sent Jordan Lawler down to AAA to Eldoramo Vargas to come back on the team to be a utility option off the bench. Other than that, I got nothing here for you offensively.
I got nothing either. I was going to go more rotation-wise. It sounds like Erod is back and Ryan Nelson would get taken out of the rotation. You made some waves by saying you dropped Zach Gallen in a league. Is that correct?
In a 12-teamer, I have him in two 15s. He's really getting close to being dropped there as well.
That's but, aggressive. In the OCs, Zach Gallen's still 100% and 92% started, but it hasn't looked good. So I just want to get your thoughts on that. Like, people who have Zach Gallen right now in 12-teamers or shallower, like, I mean, you did drop him. And Sandy.
Must have been a standalone instead of an OC. They all kind of blend together at this point in time. But yeah, I'll give you my thoughts on Zach Gallen. Let's dig in here for a second. So Zach Gallen has, I usually do the old, hey, he's allowed 3 earned runs or less in so many starts. No, he's allowed 7 of 12 starts, he's allowed 4 earned runs or more is where he's going there. Pretty much 5 Ks or less. More importantly, he has 32 walks and 66 strikeouts and 66 innings. So almost a 2 strikeouts per 1 walk, which is not going to cut. It's a 4.32 walk per 9, which is not great. He has an 11.6% K to walk on the season. He has a 4.28 Sierra. When people say, oh, he'll bounce back from 5.54, you still don't want a 4.28 Sierra from Zach Gallen. The dude can't throw strikes. His velocity is a little lower than years past. He hasn't shown any market improvements to make me speculate that things are getting better. And that's where it's just like in a 12, I'm out. We're moving on. I'll stream guys all day. Like, I streamed Logan Evans for one start. I'll stream someone else next week. I'll play that game all day long. Then I'd rather pitch Reed Garrett than Zach Gallen right now.
There we go. With conviction. I like it.
Yeah.
Kevin Hastings also dropped Gallen in 12s as well. So maybe I'm actually not looking at the right thing.
It's just
smart people are dropping them. And I mean, the case you make is it makes a ton of sense.
Well, especially in 12s, like there's replacement value there. Like, we all still picture Zach Gallen, this guy. Dude, he had a massive workload. I actually compared him to, maybe he's showing that Bumgarner regression that he saw after his massive postseason workload. And it's just one of those things you can't really quantify because, quote unquote, there's no injury. But he's just, the arm doesn't have, he only has so many bullets in the arm. So it's rough.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, and maybe he figures it out. Who knows? But, like I said, you wait the 2 months, you start making decisions where it's like, he hasn't shown me anything worth, you know, keeping along. So, yes. All right. Colorado Rockies, 3 at the Miami Marlins, 3 at home in Coors Field, all right-handed pitching. The Marlins series is pretty sweet because Sandy, I dropped 2 weeks ago. He's even worse than Gallen on this one. But it's the Rockies, so I guess you can do whatever you want here. It's just it's a bad baseball team. And Adele Amador got sent down because Orlando Arcia is going to be a starting second baseman for the Rockies now until Tyro comes back. So, yeah, pick your poisons, so, I guess.
So Tyro is the one who I wanted to bring up because I do think Tyro Estrada, I don't think he's far out from coming back. This could be a week where if Tyro Estrada, if you're in early drafts, drafted and dropped because the injury for Estrada was announced when we were in Vegas. So, like, late March. So any kind of earlier league, at least on the NFBC, Estrada was dropped and is available. I think this is a good week to pick up Estrada. I don't know exactly when he's going to come back, but it feels like it's within around a week. So I think it could be Tyro time. So we may have one or at least one more fantasy relevant player on the Rockies. So go look for Tyro Estrada. If you got room to stash him for a week, I think you make that move.
Totally agree. And it's going to be a real telltale sign if Max Meyer can't figure this one out against the Rockies, because we were already kind of going down the hill on him.
Yeah.
This would be a big one here at home against the Rockies. So we'll see. Los Angeles Dodgers, they have 7 games coming up this week. 4 at home versus the Mets, 3 at the Cardinals, 2 lefties, 5 righties. I don't have a ton when it comes to batters on this one, but I will say Max Muncy, he got some new bifocals about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he went full Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn at the plate now, and he's hitting everything again. I talked about it on Breakfast with Bubba. I highlighted that kind of 14-15 game run, and it's much more fantasy viable right now.
Agreed. I'd like to point out Tommy Edman's been on the struggle bus since he returned from the IL. We got a question, I believe, in Discord. It's like, is it time to move on from Edman? I would wait that out. Let's wait that out a little bit longer and see how Edman does for at least another week or two. Where you want to do anything there. I think you wanted to talk about the bullpen, Dodgers pen, a complete cluster.
Yes. All that money going up in flames, baby. Tanner Scott has turned into a shell. Like, he's turned into Tanner Scott circa 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby Yates is on the IL. Evan Phillips got transferred to the 60-day IL. Which still means
Alexis
he's fine.
Diaz is in to save everyone. Got
traded.
Yeah. Alexis Diaz.
Dude, this is a cluster. It is bad. Bad. It's still Tanner
hate
Scott's
to see
role.
It.
You hate to see it. It's still Tanner Scott's role, but just buyer beware at this point in time is all I'm gonna say. We talk about pitchers. Do you auto start pitchers? There's closers you can sit too, folks. Just gonna throw these out there. And as TDK mentions, Michael Kopech is rehabbing. He could be back in another week or so. That would be an arm I'd be interested in, honestly, to combat Kirby Yates.
I'm going to slow your roll on Tanner Scott, though. Like, he's pitched fine. He's still missing a ton of bats, throwing a ton of strikes, 25% strikeout minus walk. Like, I think Tanner Scott will be fine. It's been a rough patch, but I think he'll be okay.
He could be fine, but let's look at this rough patch a little longer instead of the full sample size. Why would we actually want to do that? Well, let's look at what he's struggling with through this sample to see if it's serviceable or not. Through 4 2/3 innings in his last 5 outings, he's allowed 11 hits, 9 earned runs, 2 homers, 7 strikeouts, That infamous K to walk we like is down to 18.5 during that stretch. Still good. Still not bad. Not bad. I'll give you that. That's not good. He still has a 47% ground ball rate, so that's a positive. I'll give you that. I'll give you that, Ryan. But the plate discipline, that's where I wanted to go. His zone contact's almost 79%, 18% swinging strikes. So, yes.
That's elite.
I wanted to search this for. Like, I wanted to talk about it because some guys might be pitching hurt. This happens this year. His stuff still looks good, to your point. See, I'm not combating you. We're talking. Adults. It's okay.
Glad you came around.
It's Tanner Scott's. It's his role, but boy, is it ugly right now. And you hate to see it.
Agree with you on that.
Two more teams to go here. The San Diego Padres, they have 7 games this week. 4 at the Giants, 3 at the Brewers, 2 lefties, 5 righties. Buddy, my sheets have never been cleaner in my life.
Dude, clean the sheets is like a movement that has been taking. We get like tweeted at.
I think our next sponsor is like Tide Pods or something. Tide for cleaning Pods. Sheets or something.
Dude, but it's a good week to clean the sheets. I mean, it's 5 more righties, and he's even playing against lefties. He plays lefties.
So it doesn't matter.
So, like, screw it, man. I'm doing laundry every single day this week. Speaking of which,
it's almost Friday. I clean my sheets. Let's go.
It's been awesome to honestly, like, we have these, like, just weird, quirky-ass things that I think only we think are funny. It's pretty cool to hear listeners get involved and shout us out when Mr. Sheets does his thing. So let's hope for more. It's been a fun ride.
Agreed. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot. I'm not rostering Tyler Wade. I know he's playing regularly, but I'm not there.
I am not there either. You Darvish, like, rehab, something happened, it delayed something.
He had a setback, but then he started playing catch. So now he's hoping to get another rehab start this week. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. So doesn't sound good, basically. So wouldn't hold your breath there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see there. Adam Lee's behind on us here, but he says Hendo might get reactivated for the weekend. No, that's Quintana on Sunday. So don't get excited about the Logan Henderson.
Potential crossover marketing opportunity here proposed by Mr. Hastings. Drop a pod in the washer, slam a noon, double endorsement. Dude,
you know, there's always that list, Ryan, of like top 5 cold beers. One's like the lawnmower beer. Maybe there's the noon after a Tide Pod drops to clean your sheets. That might hit the list. Yeah, there's we got stuff there. Are you drinking a noon right now?
I wish. Nah, it's a little seltzer. I wish. Tomorrow at this time, most likely, but not tonight.
Yeah, so keep an eye on you, Darvish. Back to baseball, but yes, I'm with you as well. All right, San Francisco Giants, 7 games this week. They got all at home, 4 against the Padres, 3 against the Braves, 1 lefty, 6 righties coming your direction here. Sadly, that means Lamont Wade is still in play, but I wouldn't do it. Mike Yastrzemski, he's cooled down. He's not that guy that was on fire earlier, but he will get a ton of action at the top of the order. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot for the hitting department here. Just hopefully we get to see Eldridge real soon.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't. You have a better pulse on whether that will actually happen. So, no, I don't have too much either. I mean, in terms of the pitching side, I mean, the obvious Camilo Duvall is the guy officially. So, available in 20% of NFBC 12 teamers. So, I would think Camilo Duvall goes for
a boatload of money where he's available.
Yeah.
And that's just one of those that if you need saves, even sleeping at the wheel on that one, because this one's kind of been coming. So that was a tricky one. I will also say I love Kyle Harrison, but Justin Verlander is scheduled to come back like next Tuesday. So,
okay.
Yeah. And as Andy Splinter says, Carson Wisenhunt, we talked about him last week. Like, they got Harrison, Roop, Birdsong, Wisenhunt. They have a lot of good options in that pitching department. So definitely something to go to. That's all I got with the Giants. That wraps up our 30 teams schedules for the week. Ryan, you ready to talk about some most added and dropped?
Let's see what we have. Fantrax most added. I flip over to the top free agent risers sheet in the planner here. Top 5, Cody Clements. That was more of a last week streamer type of thing. So buyer beware there potentially with Wallner. Buxton coming back. You've got Carlos Novaez. We did not talk about with Boston. You mentioned him last week. continues to hit well. And we look at the skills here in the free agent riser tab, pretty decent, right? 12% barrel rate, 24% strikeout rate. Like, that's league average. The power is a little bit above league average. Projections aren't good because Carlos Narváez hasn't really been good, but the skills look good right now. So
I added him in a few places last week. So, yep.
Okay.
I'm on board. Yep. Let me check before we move on, since we didn't mention him. He is still just 45% rostered in 12. So he's out there, and he should be a catcher too in even 12s right now, in my opinion.
We've got Miguel Vargas, number three riser. Dylan Carlson, who I mentioned at the top, kind of a sneaky one. Up 3%, but still only 7% rostered in Fantrax. Again, a 15-team type of move for outfield for Dylan Carlson. Clean the sheets. Finally catching on. He's a riser. Wencel Perez, I mentioned earlier with Detroit. Really good week with seven righties. Wencel Perez, I think, is a nice pickup so far this week. I think everyone else. We did not mention Victor Mesa Jr., the Marlins.
Yeah, this is why. Give me 1 second to pull up the Marlins.
Up 2% roster. To 5% rostered in Fantrax League. So still not widely rostered, but I don't know.
Because this is one I probably should have mentioned, but it slipped my mind through all the laughter of tonight's show. Remember our buddy Dane Myers, who we like so much, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, right after the Dane. Stabbed.
He's due back next week. He's on a rehab assignment right now, and people think he will take Victor Mesa's spot, which he should take Victor Mesa's spot. So Dane Myers could be a guy to start keeping on your radar again. I believe we talked about the Miami Marlins this upcoming week. They have a very favorable left-handed schedule. They one left.
They get five righties.
Yep. So maybe not the Myers week we would hope for this week, but definitely someone to keep on your roster, on your radar, and this is why we might not see Victor much longer.
Yep. I don't know who else. We got Henry Davis, Brett Beatty, who we both endorse. They're up. They're just up a point, but I will stop at Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah, that should be Shea Whitcomb, not Mauricio Dubon.
I know. Rubs.
I understand there's the business aspect to things. I get all that, but man, if you want to win games now, there's ways to fix that. But yeah, that's most of them. Like, there's Jesus, there's Chase Mydroth, Connor Norby. Connor Norby's swinging it pretty well if he's available, but he's pretty much usually pretty widely rostered. I believe the Marlins as a whole have been hitting. Yeah, Norby's 98%. So yeah, not a whole lot else on that one. So what do we got on the pitching side of things? Look at that guy at the top of the list. That's freaking beautiful.
Our guy, Daniel Palencia, number one pitcher riser, up 11% to 45% in Fantrax. Number two, I actually wanted to mention him, but we did not. Noah Cameron is up 7% to 62%. Some really good surface numbers, but the skills, yeah, you're shaking your head. I am too. The skills have not been that hot so far for Noah Cameron. 25 innings, below average strikeout rate, league average walk rate. The big thing I want to key on, and we have this again in the spreadsheet here, color-coded, is the Sierra, the skills-based ERA, is at 471. So Noah Cameron had one really good start. Forget who it was against, but outside of that, has not been too hot. So I still like Noah Cameron long-term. It's just I think the results are a little bit better than the skills right now.
And my biggest thing is Seth Lugo's back tomorrow. Reagan's back next week.
So yeah, good point.
Maybe Cameron gets one more start because Seth Reagan's, I believe, is throwing a rehab assignment this weekend. So maybe they slide Cameron in one more time. But other than that, he's not around much longer. So not going to invest too much in that direction.
We've got Adrian Hauser up 6%, the number three riser. We talked about the house. We're staying away there.
Look at those skills, baby.
Yep. And that's why I've got the skills on. Or even the projections are not great for Adrian Hauser. And I think we all know why. So, Lance McCullers Jr.
Only little Zachy would argue with those.
Yeah, that's right. The bat projections we are using here on the show. Lance McCullers Jr. is the number four riser up 5% to 39%. That's going to cost you, as we talked about, just because the last start was so good with so many strikeouts there. So those are the top pitcher risers. Ronnie Enriquez up 5% to 19%.
I don't understand the Mikolas love. I don't understand the Randy Rodriguez has been filthy, but it's Doval. Maybe they think Rodriguez slides in there. But I mentioned before the show to you, Jacob Lopez was popular last week. That should watch out. There's Ciccone. Well,
the thing with not to cut you off, but the thing with Randy Rodriguez, one of our listeners pointed this out to us last week. Some of these Fantrax leagues are saves and holds leagues, and some of you all play in saves and holds leagues. And Randy Rodriguez, like, you look at the skills, it's a 40% K rate. That's elite. Sierra's at 132.
So walk.
Like, exactly. Like, the ratios, the skills are elite for Randy Rodriguez. So, like, in a holds league, that's golden.
Great point. Great point. Ciccone's there. I think there's maybe something that's just tough. I like the Robert Garcia. Will Vest should be widely rostered by now, but he's not. So I like the Robert Garcia one. Yuri Perez, people are stashing. 76% rostered in Fantrax by Dynasties. A lot of that going on there. But yeah, other than
who the hell? This might be, it took an hour 25 to get in here. Who the hell is Tanner Gordon on the Rockies?
Starts every fifth day for the Rockies, throws batting practice, heads back to the bench. That's pretty much what he does. I'm not trying to be mean to his parents that might be listening, but it's never been pretty.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. So,
other than that, most of these guys are either already pretty highly rostered or don't need to be rostered.
And only 1% rising this week. Yeah. So very, you know. So yeah, those are the big names that, again, we covered with the with going through the 30 teams. Maybe we miss someone every now and then, but just a nice recap there.
All righty, let's talk about two steps for the week. Starting in Arizona, there is not a two-step because it looks like Ryan Nelson's going to get one more turn, which will be. And do I even? I have the right ones up too. Interesting.
Yep,
reset this E-Rod. Just to make sure. Yeah, so did I. So Nelson might get one more start. It's at Atlanta. Don't recommend that. All right, the Athletics all at home. You got Severino versus Minnesota versus Baltimore.
Who?
Luis Severino versus Minnesota versus Baltimore.
God, he's been bad. Severino's been bad. They're both at home. No, I'd be in 12s.
3.890 ERA bad?
He's been worse than that. Doesn't miss any bats. The two steps at home. Like, I'm maybe in 15s, but not at 12s.
15s, possibly. I'm with you there. 12's not a chance, and Lopez might not be in the rotation. Chris Sale, you're starting. Sagano at Seattle at the A's.
Oh, that'll test your moxie.
Yes, it will.
I think you do it, but you just hope that splitter is splitting. Because if it's not,
it's going to get ugly quick. Ugly quick. Mr. Fitz versus the Angels at the Yankees. No,
I'm not. But we talked about him earlier. Maybe not stretched out enough for the Angels start, and then you don't want a fully stretched out
Fitz, anybody, pretty much.
Yeah, against the Yankees, so you don't want that.
Cade Horton at the Nationals at the Tigers.
I think you can roll with it in 15s. I don't, maybe even 12s, but
I think even 12s also.
Yeah, skills look pretty good.
Brady Singer versus Milwaukee versus Arizona. I do it.
I would do it, but not a slam dunk. They're both at home, which is tricky, but I'd probably do it, but would be a lower tier option for sure.
15s for sure. I think there's 12 viability. Cleveland, Logan Allen at the Yankees versus Houston.
No, hell no.
You're not doing a two-step Marquez. Jonathan Cannon versus Detroit versus Kansas City.
Hell no.
Sean Smith versus Detroit versus Kansas City?
Hey, put some respect on the name, Shane Smith.
I was going to say the first time when I stopped. Damn it.
Yeah, Shane Smith's going to get me an IPA in Arizona. So I'm going to roll with Shane Smith in 15 teamers. Yes, I think that's a decent schedule, and Shane Smith has actually pitched semi-decent this year.
In 15s, yes. 12s, no. Not going to happen.
Agreed.
Flaherty, you're going to do it White Sox and Cubs. I don't think it's Jackson Jobe, so I'll have to kind of wait and see on that one. Right. Lance McCullers is at Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
Well, I mean, it's the question is if you have McCullers, yes, you're doing it. So, and if you're going to fab McCullers this weekend, you're obviously starting him. So there's that.
Michael Lorenzen. See, this is where it stings. He's supposed to have a two-step this past week, got shelled. His two-step gets pushed back because Seth Lugo's coming back on Friday. So now you got Lorenzen at St. Louis at the White Sox.
Yeah, I'd throw that.
Yep, you got to do it again. Tyler Anderson at Boston versus Seattle.
No,
he keeps getting it done. It's so frustrating.
I know, but like, in Boston, I'm not doing it either. Banged up. I'm not doing it though.
No, not like, let's just for funsies here. Boston in the month of May hitting 282 with a 118 WRC plus versus lefties. That's something I'd probably stay away from. And the Mariners a 124 WRC plus. So yeah, stay away from that one. Dodgers, Dustin May versus the Mets at St. Louis. May looked good his last start.
Did look good. Strikeouts were there. I think gave up a 3-run homer, but that was pretty much it. Yeah, I'm going to roll with Dustin May.
Me too. Let's get to Milwaukee. Freddy Peralta at Cincy versus San Diego. Yeah, if you got him, you're doing it. Just don't feel great about it. Joe Ryan, Pablo Lopez at the A's versus Toronto. Yes and yes.
Yep.
Tyler McGill at the Dodgers at the Rockies.
Oh, yeah, you're doing that. Yeah,
you're doing it. But, man, he scares me every time he takes the mound.
Just get through Monday like the rest of us.
Yep, pretty much. Nailed it. Clean your sheets. You'll feel better. Carlos Rodon versus Cleveland versus Boston. Yes. Zach Wheeler, yes. Mr. Burrows for the Pirates versus Houston versus Philly. No.
No. Nope.
Kolek for the Dodgers, for the Padres. No. He's been so bad. George Kirby versus Baltimore at the Angels.
Yep. Yep. You have to.
Logan Webb. Yes. If Verlander returns, he gets Padres and the Braves both at home.
That's tricky. Coming off the IL, I'd probably pass, yeah, but it's tough.
I'm passing too. Drew Rasmussen versus Texas versus Miami. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Even though we bagged him on Tuesday night, pitched better on Wednesday. Yeah. And good schedule. So
three straight starts with six innings, no runs, but it's just like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one. Texas, potentially Eovaldi back for at Tampa at Washington if he's back. Yes.
Of course, but yeah. I think you start Eovaldi even if he just starts once, but yeah, I just hope for the best there.
Bowden Francis versus Philly at Minnesota. No.
Hell no.
Trevor Williams versus the Cubs versus Texas.
Never Trevor.
Never Trevor. I'm with you at that as well. All right, let's get to some of the listener questions from the old Discord here. Let me find them real quick. That's not that one. Fantasy baseball, it's under that category. Show questions, got it. All right. No.
Whoa, yeah, geez. It's in show questions.
No, I got it. No, I was looking at something else. I almost scrolled up to a different question for somebody in the chat here. Kevin A. says, question for tonight's Fab show. What is your philosophy on fabbing pitchers at this point in the season when you're trying to cash? Do you gamble on a starting pitcher like Morton, Cavalli, who could be back any day now, Emerson Hancock, or a relief pitcher that has good ratios and can pick up a hold or a save, Randy Rodriguez, Ronnie Henriquez? Assume league is 600-plus deep and positive stats outweigh any specific category.
So given that last part, I'd probably lean more the reliever if positive 100%. Stats outweigh any specific category. Yeah, so like your Randy Rodriguez for sure. I do think like – I still think it's early enough in the season where like your traditional kind of 5x5 and 12, 15 teamers, even maybe less so in 15 teamers. I still think you need to roll with the starting pitchers just to it's pretty easy to fall back quickly in strikeouts. Yeah. But yeah, that's my general outlook on it.
Completely agree. Completely agree on that one. Adam Seven says, at what point in the year do you start focusing your fab dollars on specific categories based on category level standings versus just best available player covering injuries?
Really, I don't at this point. For me, it's more like an August type thing where I'm really trying to hone in on categories. The one exception to that is saves, where like if you've obviously lost a closer, you have like a Devin Williams where you may not get the job back, then I think you need to go aggressive and pick your spots for saves. But outside of that, I think it's still too early to start hitting categories because it's just going to turn into whack-a-mole. If you focus on one category, you don't have enough of a cushion built up in other categories. You're just going to fall back in those and then have to course adjust. So I wait until August, maybe in late August to look at that stuff.
Yeah, it's an August thing for me. Definitely. Like I'll pay attention to it if I don't want to be falling too far behind by any means. But to your point is if you start focusing too much on categories, you'll start losing ground elsewhere most likely because you're not picking up five category guys out there. That'll be the conundrum. So I'm with you there as well. So probably August is a fair number, but to also your point, saves is like the one category where you definitely need to pay attention there because you can't get like 20 saves in the last 2 months of the season more often.
Right. Exactly.
West Townie says, how much fab do you have left in your fantasy leagues? What level is typical for those this time of the year?
Well, you wrote yours down, so I don't have mine up right now. So go for it.
So the relevant leagues I have, an OC, I have 415. My other OC, my Beat Bubba, I have 611. And it's 250, the 12 team standalone 431, the Vegas standalone 596, Bubba the Loon listener 596, and my OLAC 605. So I feel like I'm standing pretty good in most of those situations. I've seen people down to like around $100, give or take, which is terrifying. 12s, you can be lower than 15s and get away with it. I'll say that much.
Yep.
You can definitely do that. And there's the old adage, like you kind of want to have anywhere from like, you know, $50 to $100 for the final month of the year. So you can get aggressive and get your guys. But I don't really pay them. If I need to get guys, I get guys right now and I figure it out later.
Agreed. And even more so in 12 teamers, because I think we'll find once football season starts, you can get some bunch of dudes for very cheap. So agree with everything you said. I think in general, if you're around $400 or $500, you're okay. Obviously if you have more, great, but like start spending, because you can't take your fab money with you. So for me, Vegas league, I'm down to 362. I think that's my lowest. The RotoWire beat the bloom is 346. So I'm going even lower. The listener league 15 teamer, I'm at 549, and I'm in a main event qualifier at 682. So probably want to start spending a little bit more there. So that's what we have.
Yeah. I noticed in my, the two listener leagues we have, I just been more aggressively this last time because everyone seems to outbid me in those formats. So I got some guys this past week, same with my OLAC. I was kind of being too timid in those as well. So got more aggressive, got my Palencias and whatnot. I'm still sitting with a little more money than usual. So like, I'm not going crazy, but I'm up in my bids by like $10-$15 to make sure I walk away and see where it goes. And we'll see what happens, but you never know. Fab is a fickle, fickle beast.
Yep.
All right. Any final thoughts, Ryan, before we wrap up our week 11 Fab preview?
Fun show. Plenty of laughs.
Plenty of laughs indeed. Make sure y'all clean your sheets this weekend. Enjoy yourselves in that regard. Get ready because they're about to be fresh, fresh, fresh clean all of next week as well. But until next time, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 247. Catch y'all next time.